Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to You've Got Kids. And again, we have the wonderful Monica O'Connor in Anya's seat. And Monica is going to discuss breastfeeding with us and mothering in particular through breastfeeding. And Monica, I suppose it's not really just a form of feeding your child. Breastfeeding goes way beyond giving your baby milk, doesn't it?
That's what I would think, Aoife. I suppose I had a very, I would say, lucky introduction in that I was born in Australia. My mum is an Aussie and my dad is from Wexford. So when I was born in 1967 in Australia, breastfeeding was the norm. And my mother actually says that the Mater Misericordiae Hospital where I was born, she said the staff would have been very annoyed if you didn't breastfeed. So it was very, breastfeeding was encouraged. Breastfeeding was normal. My mum had a friend whose first child was a little bit older than I. And mum was very close to her friend Maureen and said Maureen's kind of set the pace for her. It was about having a peer who was doing what she wanted to do or wanted to emulate. So there are six in my own family, four boys and two girls, and mum breastfed all of us. I never saw a bottle of formula. My second youngest brother did ask for a bottle when the baby was born, and my mother didn't make an issue of it at all. She went out and got him a bottle, and he was two and he got bottles of Ribena. And he asked for a soother and none of us had had a soother. And my mother didn't throw a hissy fit and say, oh, they're disgusting and horrible and all the things she actually thought about them. She got him a soother. He used it for a week and got rid of it then. So it was very...
You say he asked for a bottle and he asked for a soother. Was that when he was 2 years old?
He pointed to them and whatever. And it was obvious to her that this is what he wanted because he had been the baby.
Oh, right. And he still wants to be a baby.
He wanted to know that he wasn't unimportant because there was a new sibling. So my mother very wisely just said, okay, you can have a bottle. And okay, you can have a soother. So it wasn't an issue. It wasn't something he had to cry and get upset about. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was grand. It was a natural progression.
It was fine. So I was very lucky then when I had my first child that even though he was born in a large Dublin hospital who I've still not forgiven him formula. But once I got him away from them, he breastfed for exclusively for 6 months, if you don't count the two bottles that he got in the maternity hospital. And then it just seemed normal to me. Kind of the introduction of solids then would have been very like when the child was ready. So needing to be able to sit up and move food to the back of their mouth without, you know, this tongue thrust that a lot of early spoon fed babies will do. So he would have not been interested in solids till he was 8 or 9 months old and started with a bit of banana and a bit of potato and a bit of carrot and just what was on my dinner plate. I never bought my children formula. I never bought bottles or soothers and I never bought packets of baby food either. So to me, it just seemed... You know, they were getting, I took great pride, I have to say, using that word advisedly, in the fact that my body grew these babies for 9 months, gave birth to them, and then was able to nourish them exclusively for at least 6 months and on until they were ready to say, do you know what, Ma, I'd rather go and play football.
And a women's empowerment is a phrase we hear an awful lot today.
Is this true, Aoife?
And really the most empowering thing a woman can do is give birth, is grow a baby and give birth naturally to that child and then nourish that child at the breast.
Oh,
it's so empowering. When you sit back and you're looking at this baby and you're saying, this baby needs nothing in the world, only my body. My body is enough for this baby completely for the first 6 months. He doesn't need anything, only my body. My body will supply everything this child needs.
I couldn't agree more. I just found it a most empowering thing. And... you know, a most reconnecting thing. So I know that for a lot of people, they feel quite challenged or scared about the idea that it's just them. Everything is down to mum. You have to be there all the time or baby has to be with you all the time. And I think that is more down, the pressure that mothers feel about that is more down to our culture and that we are not a baby welcoming culture.
Yes.
And, you know, I would really have struggled with that at various times where I wanted to go and hear a talk or a lecture or participate in something. And I assumed that bringing my baby in a sling, a small baby now, not one that was going to make noise. And I mean, if my child ever made noise at anything that I was at, I obviously took them out of the room because I am aware that, you know, people want to be able to listen without the sometimes distracting noises of small people. Not talking about Cuiva at all.
Yes. Cuiva, stop it.
She's so well behaved. But I think that it's very sad that we have done something with our culture where we have compartmentalized. So babies are not meant to be at things where adults are. And then children, small children of certain ages are meant to be in certain places. And then we've carried that right throughout the lifespan, and now older people are meant to be, you know, hived off into nursing homes or whatever. And I'm not saying, I know that that's a really difficult decision for people to make, but I think the idea that we can, as a society, as a culture, and as individual families, have space for the small members and space for the older members, that we can encompass the vulnerable, I think that's really important. And I think I hope that the lesson, what I say to my kids is, and we were having a discussion about this the other day, and I was saying, you do know, like, that the fact that I didn't sleep train you and I breastfed you during the night and I stopped looking at the clock to see how often I was awake at night and looking for sympathy the next day when I was exhausted, you know, I said, the other side of this is, like, I didn't put you in creches and play school and whatever. So I, when I'm dothery and looking for a cup of tea at 3 a.m.
it's payback time.
There'll be a rota, yeah. Guys. And I, and when I want scrambled eggs or a soft boiled egg the way I want it at 4 a.m, you know, so
yeah,
we had a bit of a joke about this, you know?
Yeah, because it's not thankful. They won't thank you. No, they won't.
Well, I don't think your children should have to. I mean,
no, and they're not even going to acknowledge it. I'm looking at the baby here. This little one could feed still 6-7 times a night.
And that's so normal. And it's so, wonderful for her.
And it's
so
not,
wonderful.
And this is a very intimate time. We have a busy house. Well, I've 7 kids. It's a very busy house, very fast moving. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people coming and going all day from morning
to
night.
A lot to keep
in
touch with. A lot to keep on top of, yeah.
But that time, she's in the bed with us. We co-sleep. And I've co-slept with all the babies. But this is her very intimate time and the only intimate quiet time that she can have with me.
And you get to sit down.
Yeah, but she knows that. So she's trying to squeeze as much of me as possible into those few hours that we're in bed. I can sleep through her feeds. You know, that's the great thing about co-sleeping.
Yeah. And I think, like, from the science end of it, I think it's well accepted now that our baby's immune systems and our baby's health is greatly enhanced by breastfeeding. But what we're not so good about telling new mums or newly pregnant women is that if they breastfeed, their own health is going to benefit immeasurably in terms of their rates of various cancers, osteoporosis. There's so much that is, if we follow the biological norm of our pregnancy and our giving birth and our breastfeeding, that's what nature expects us to do, and our health long term will be improved by that. I mean, the amount of times that a mother in the newborn, oh, poor Cuiva, the amount of time that a newborn baby will want to nurse. So normal nursing in the newborn period is at least 8 to 12 times in the first 24 hours. So that means that mum has to be sitting. And that's obviously nature designed, that mother wasn't up running around after husband and other kids. That somebody is meant to be there taking care of mum and making sure that she has whatever drink she likes and whatever food, because it takes an extra 500 calories a day on average to make milk for one person. I can remember with my November babies who are coming up to 33 and 26 now. I remember on one of them particularly, and I would take a huge bowl of, like, cereal to bed at 11 o'clock at night because I'd be starving.
Starving. Starving.
Like, I think that the calorie needs of a breastfeeding mother are akin to a guy doing manual labour or out, you know, traditional farming where you're not just driving tractors.
Maybe in your house. Let me see. Am I very fit? I should be like a supermodel then, really, Monica, because I'm still in the middle of that and I'm nowhere like that.
And this is, your body is protecting the food source for your baby and holding on. And our bodies are very, very, what's the word? They're very good at storing the energy that we need to make food for the nursling.
Storing energy. That's a lovely way of not storing
there
fat.
There we go.
I'm storing energy.
Energy. Energy. Energy. That your body
will
turn.
I must remind myself of that when I can't zip up my dress this Friday when I'm going to my night out. energy. It's energy storing. It's all for my baby.
Absolutely.
But I wonder then why Monica Moore don't. There's no downside to it. Now, unless you call a downside being attached to your baby or your baby being with you, which is sadly our culture, which is probably the most beautiful part of motherhood in my view.
I think so, yeah.
It's a lovely thing. Yeah. I mean, we're supposed to be, if you look back in historical, we were recently with the other children. I was at the art gallery this week. Free day out, brilliant day for a rainy day.
Yes.
But I was amazed at the amount of beautiful paintings of nursing mothers there in our own art gallery here. And motherhood was always, nearly always projected as a nursing mother
historically.
I'm looking at, I'm thinking, and if we were to look back on the original pictures of the family unit, let's say the Holy Family, you know, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, how many images is there of her breastfeeding the baby? I was looking recently at the flight to Egypt. I don't know if you know that one, but it's St. Joseph is like a nap and she's feeding our Lord. And he's like, let me see, what would it be in today's terms? A child after climbing a tree with a pair of fine wellies on him or something. He's a big bruiser.
He's a big lump of a child.
He's there having a snooze and she's there sitting up and she's feeding our Lord. And I say to my husband, see, this is what I'm like. At 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, at 7 o'clock. But it's a lovely, lovely, lovely part of motherhood. And I can't understand, it's actually mind-boggling, why don't more women do it? Unfortunately, in Ireland, our figures are atrocious.
And sadly, they are. And I know that down in Kilkenny, so that'd be next county to me, there was a transition year school who did a survey to find out, they asked mothers who didn't, why they didn't. And the biggest answer given, and it was up in the 60%, was embarrassment. And when you think about what breasts are used for in our culture and in our society to advertise everything from swimwear, which kind of makes sense, to cars, which doesn't, but it obviously pays off for the marketing executives. It's sad that women feel embarrassed about the most normal use of what we have breasts for.
Because they really are tools for feeding our children.
And comforting.
They differentiate yourselves from men, from fatherhood. This is motherhood. This is fatherhood.
Absolutely.
This is motherhood. This is where a mother nourishes.
One of the coolest things that I learned in the last while in supporting breastfeeding mothers was that if your baby coughs or sneezes around you, or if anybody coughs in your air, in your vicinity, and you are breastfeeding, within about 20 minutes, your breasts will have got the message and have sent the message to make antibodies to that particular bug. So this is why the immune factors in breast milk will never be replicated. Every couple of months or years, we see a new splash on the papers, very expensive and beautifully produced by the formula companies whose interest is only in making profit from your baby. And the last time I saw figures, which must be out of date, are that, you know, the profit per baby who's not breastfed is £3 back in the day per child per week. Is the profit made. So they put a huge amount of money into advertising. And by the time a woman gives birth, about 92% of the information she has seen about how to feed a newborn baby. That's a lovely song, Quiva.
Sorry, Monica.
You're fine. Has come from the formula companies whose only interest is in undermining your breastfeeding. And even if you see the ads on the telly now, it talks about, oh, breastfeeding is the best. You know, breastfeeding isn't best. Breastfeeding is normal. And we should be doing anything that's not breastfeeding is inferior.
Yes.
And we should be saying that really strongly. Not, you can't, by the way, make anyone feel guilty. People feel guilty. We all have to own our own feelings and decide, you know, I feel guilty that I allowed the maternity hospital to give my first son a couple of bottles of formula. They shouldn't have done it. My chart said breastfeeding, etc., etc. I was 19 and I didn't have the whatever wherewithal to go up and tell them where to go and to do anything about it. And, you know, I've had to make peace with that. And I hope he has, because he's nearly 33. You don't want to not be carrying stuff like that around with you. Although sometimes when he coughs and sneezes and is more has more on the allergenic tendencies than the rest of the kids, you kind of go, I wonder. Because there was a very interesting study that came out that said that breastfed babies were actually quite you know, had a lot of allergies. And the study was done in New Zealand. And Maureen Fallon, who at the time was the National Breastfeeding Coordinator in Ireland, said, well, you know what? I did my midwifery and my nursing out in New Zealand, and we gave all the breastfed babies a bottle of formula at night. And, you know, she said it was charted, and it was absolutely standard practice at the time when this study was being done. So it's, you know, to say what the health effects of not breastfeeding, that's what really our Department of Health and our Minister for Health should be putting his time and money into, is into making breastfeeding attractive for mothers now, instead of our maternity hospitals dishing out free formula to any bottle feeding mother. An infant, they should be given vouchers for maternity bras, for instance, or a
scone or a sandwich,
a bit
in the
of extra
of the
food at 9, 10, 11 o'clock Jane at night. Max. Like, nobody would survive in the maternity
starving.
Hospitals without a partner to bring them in, you know, a Chinese and a takeaway and stuff. The food in there is not enough to make milk for your baby and to heal from the birth.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, it's
no,
it's
I remember
sad.
It. I remember myself and I was expecting one that I think it was my third son, and one of the midwives was doing the rounds, and of course another night. I have breastfed all my children for a minimum of 2 years. You know, some of them gone beyond that.
Yeah.
But you know, I've always found the early days very hard. Always. Even if I have fed right up until birth a toddler, I've still found my early days with a new baby very hard. I've always cracked. I've nearly always had mastitis. I don't know, maybe it's because my colouring, I'm very fair, people have said. I don't know what it is. I
don't think there's any research to back that up. It's probably to do with having a busy house and just not having enough support. Like, mums would ring me with mastitis and issues, and it's often around the christening or holidays or stuff like that, where they're out of their, and I'm using air quotes, routine, because I don't believe there is such a thing as or shouldn't be a rigid routine with a newborn. But often mums, we're not good at nurturing new mothers. We're not good at giving the support as a society and within families, and sometimes within parenting, within partnerships between husband and wife. We're not good about saying, do you know what, you need to sit and you need. I talked to a mum from Taiwan today who told me that in her culture, the mother of the new breastfed baby is expected to sit for a month and not have to look after the needs, laundry and food and whatever, of her other kids and her husband. She's meant to be fed by somebody else. So this is why we need to mother the mother.
Mother the mother. Yeah, that's a lovely term, isn't it? Mothering the new mother.
It yeah. is. And we've got to look at the nurturing that we give to our new mums, because the investment we put in there, like what we're seeing, I would actually call it an epidemic. We are seeing so much postnatal depression now in new mums, so much isolation. And part of that is mums feeling that, you know, sure, somebody might be looking at me. And I have to say, even on my sixth child, the first time when I was out at a coffee shop or the cinema or somewhere breastfeeding my new baby, I did feel like, it's just in the early days, they're quite hard to attach discreetly sometimes. You know, everything's a bit, you know, floppy and whatever. But you get good at it and you get used to it. But I remember that feeling of the first time I'd be out somewhere in public and say, oh God, is anyone going to react? And of course, nobody ever did. Like,
never.
I have breastfed on planes, trains, automobiles, churches, restaurants, obviously, cinemas, theatres.
On a bed in Dunn's. That was my most recent one. Displaying their lovely new bed linen. I said, I'm going to sit down here, because she was having a complete meltdown.
No, I can't say I've done that. I will not feed a child in the toilet. I think that's horrific to expect a new mum to go. Or even changing rooms are smelly places in a lot of places with no open air, you know, no window and nappy units not changed often enough. But I suppose the take home for mums to know is that they are entitled, you're legally protected in Ireland to breastfeed wherever you and your baby are legally entitled to be. You're entitled to breastfeed, and nobody can ask you to move on. And if anybody's uncomfortable with seeing, and I don't know why you'd be staring at a mum breastfeeding and trying to, you know, be outraged. But anyway, it's up to the person who's not comfortable with seeing a mum and a new baby, which, by the way, I think is one of the nicest things ever. But
it's,
that's
beautiful.
Just me.
I love seeing.
I think it's gorgeous. I think it's gorgeous. And I mean, I've been involved in breastfeeding support now for over 24 years. And somebody handed me their 4-day-old the other day, and I just thought, oh, it never gets old. It never gets old. I love when a baby's head still fits floppy in your hand. I love when their yeah. head is just the size of your hand. I just, oh, sorry.
Oh, Monica. Oh.
I really should get over this because my youngest is nearly 12 and I'm widowed
nearly into
now
grandmother
and I'm 52.
Territory. Wait and you see now. You'll have the
yeah,
grandmother's
just say that to my sons, will you?
Yeah, get a move on, lads. Yeah, well, and then we have a case that was recent there on the aeroplane where a woman was very offended. I don't know, did you hear about that?
Go on, remind me.
She was
me.
Very offended. She was asked not to feed or to move or to cover up. I can't remember what it was. It was on an airline in Ireland. There was uproar.
Was it the airline asked her, like a
yes.
stewardess?
Yeah, I think
or
somebody
a
was
flight
upset.
Attendant.
Am I right? Somebody was upset.
Oh, she was asked to move or something. I
and
think
she
I
was
caught
asked
the tail
to
end.
Move. Somebody was offended, or I don't know what, everybody's offended nowadays about everything. But she was somebody was offended because she was feeding her child. And because of this offence, she was asked to move. So I know. Then that, like you said, I'm breastfeeding now. I don't know if I've ever had a break over the last nearly 15 years. Nobody has ever. And a few people have commented on it, but it's always been positive. Nobody has ever insulted me.
People come up and say, you're doing great. Or yeah. People have said, seen the baby asleep.
They do say, are you still feeding? And I'd say, yes. Or my mother-in-law used to say, are you going to do that for much longer? And I used to say, about 5 minutes, sir. About 10 minutes,
that's
sir.
That's a good
you know,
answer.
Or, you know, all right.
I suppose I got to the point where family members just knew well enough not to ask me, you know, not to say any and not to comment. And I really, like, whatever they said to each other, you know, that's their, to me, the most beautiful thing about it was the relationship with my children. And I think the security and the... just, you know, it's the mothering through breastfeeding that you do learn when your child has just had enough. I know when I went to a La Lechely conference years ago and my son was 4 and I just went up to the bookstall lady, Patricia, and I said, I need a book and my son is 4. And she handed me this book that was called When Your Child Drives You Crazy. And Ida Lashan is the author. I'm sure she's departed to her eternal reward at this stage. But it was a beautiful book because she talked about watching children having meltdowns in shopping centres and stuff and saying exhaustion unto madness. And she could see that in a small child, you know, an 18-month or a 2-year-old or whatever. But I felt that myself when I'm just too tired to be doing what I'm doing. Do you know that kind of stuff?
I know. I get you, Monica. Yeah,
but we give each other the latitude to be exhausted unto madness and to lose our temper and just not to be a nice person. We hold our children to higher standards, sadly. And I don't think that's fair.
But we were talking earlier then about that. And maybe is that why people don't breastfeed? Because they feel the pressure?
Because they're embarrassed or they think they're making a rod for their own back. Or so mothers assume it's going to be sore. And the first thing I would say to a new mother is, if it's sore, get help. Usually something can be tweaked about your positioning or your latch, or an awful lot of babies today have tongue tie and need some help, some physical help and adjustment. Also, the practices that are used for babies' births in Irish hospitals mean that breastfeeding is often quite uncomfortable for mums because baby mightn't be able to open their jaw wide enough or extend their head properly because they've had a forceps or a vacuum birth. So I will often find that a mum who's complaining of soreness or of baby preferring one side or of it just not being comfortable, breastfeeding should be comfortable. So if it's not, often chiropractic session or craniosacral therapy will just sort out whatever issue is going on for mum and baby and make things much more comfortable.
What's our figures like here in Ireland? What's our success rate?
Oh, it's not good. Initiation rates in 2016 were 56.9% for some breastfeeding. So that was using formula and breastfeeding, and exclusive breastfeeding, 46%. And in Australia, where I was born, it's 90%. And in the UK, where they think it's bad, it's 81%. And the USA is 79%. And apparently in America, because they don't have statutory maternity leave, and a lot of mums are going back to work when babies are 3 weeks, 4 weeks or 3 months. So, you know, you're lucky to get 3 months off work with your new baby. And a lot of mums are pumping there. And apparently breastfeeding in America is much more breast milk feeding than actual at the breast. And there's a lot of research now to say that to get the full health enhancing attributes of breastfeeding, that it needs to be time at the breast. Obviously, expressed breast milk is preferable to anything else that you would give a baby if you can't nurture at the breast. But, and I do know some mums who have gone through cancer treatment and breast cancer treatment when they had a newborn and not been able to have that experience of nursing originally, and they've got their community to donate breast milk so that the baby still got the
benefits. It's liquid
benefits.
Gold, really,
it
isn't
really
it?
Is.
There's no, it's so superior. And it's more so superior to anything else.
If the Department of Health read the research that's out there, then they would go on a massive drive and they would say the way to actually save money, because if it's about the bottom line, I mean, I would suggest it's about the health of the citizens of Ireland, but let's put that to one side. If they actually believed the research that's there, then they would put such a drive into making breastfeeding attractive for mums, incentivizing it, because they would see the health benefits and the bottom line money benefits to the state for children being less hospitalized with otitis media, which is ear issues, and gastroenteritis. You save a fortune.
But beyond even the health benefits of it, I wish people knew just how beautiful,
how gorgeous
it is.
It is.
And this is the only time you'll have, this very intimate time, this is the only intimate time you will have with your son
with
or daughter.
This child, yeah.
Because once they're weaned, they're going to move a little bit further away from you. So this is a beautiful time for you.
And it's
and
fabulous to reconnect. Like, it's fabulous.
Really,
when, like,
really
when your child
connect.
Is up and, you know, toddling and exploring and all that, and you know, show me a family that has a dog or a cat where their toddler hasn't decided to try and share some of the pet's food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing, and you know, when kids are putting everything into their mouth, I always felt, you know, well, my body is making the antibodies and the immune factors and whatever, and they will go and explore, and they might only nurse when they're two, they might only nurse for 2 or 3 minutes, but you know that they are getting concentrated, you know, bug busting kind of factors from your breast milk. No, there is nothing that will replace that ever.
Nothing, ever, ever. And it's suited to your child, and it changes as your child changes. And as your child grows, your milk adapts to that child and their need. I suppose I can look at this little one now, and she could go, she's 1.5. She could go days without food, days and days without food. And I'm never worried.
Worried about her.
And I know, I have friends.
She's not a skinny little thing. Like, she's not.
She weighs a ton. Here I am standing up because I can't sit down. I'm moving my mic around. But she's a real sturdy, really healthy little thing. She never gets bugs. She's never had any medicine, any Calpol or any antibiotics. She never had an infection. None of my children have, with the exception of my eldest. They've never had any antibiotics.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
We're blessed that
and that's
way.
So, and if you just look at what that is saving the health system as well. I mean, in the individual child.
Such a good start. It
absolutely.
All, it
absolutely.
All goes down to the good start.
What we think
got.
Of as normal, unfortunately, in this country is a lot of illness and a lot of trips to the doctor. We think that that's what babies will need. A lot of trips to ER and accident emergency and whatever, you know. And it's sad that that's our norm, because we've lost, I guess we're 2 or 3 generations now away from exclusive breastfeeding, you know.
We'll get back there.
I think so. One baby at a time, Aoife.
When you're running the health service. We look forward to that, Monica. I'll vote for you.
Oh, yes. When I'm the benign dictator.
When you take over from Mr. Wonderful Harris. Gosh.
Don't get
God
started.
God love us all. I know. Yeah. There's another podcast. Right, Monica. Thanks a million for coming in again.
You're so welcome, Aoife. Lovely to chat. And Cuiva was an absolute star for Patio Cuiva.
You were not.
She was great.
Good woman.
Take care.